are to be men of God.
Men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Houck.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to the King's Men. I am Mark Houck, your host, joining you every second and fourth Friday of the month right here at Holy Spirit Radio. And I'm blessed to be here. I was running a little bit late today. In fact, I got pulled over on my way here trying to get here. I didn't think I was speeding, but the state trooper thought I was. Nonetheless, he let me off with a warning, so thanks be to God. Pray for that state trooper who was kind to me. Told him my situation, and yeah, he was great. So we're here. Frank played a beautiful psalm there, and that will be how we'll begin the program in prayer, because that was just a beautiful way to enter in. As I said, I am Mark Houck, your host, with you second and fourth Friday of the month right here at 1570 a.m. in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, where we are live today on this Friday, the day after the Feast of the Ascension. Friday, May 10th today? May 10th, 11th? I forget. Actually, I didn't even look at the calendar this morning. But nonetheless, it is May 11th. That's right, May 11th. And we are with you also in 1420 today, Chester County. We have the two stations, and we're able to broadcast all over the southeastern PA area. So we're blessed to do it, blessed to be a part of this Holy Spirit Radio family. And I am blessed to be the founder of the King's Men. And the King's Men, if you don't know anything about us, is a lay men's apostolate that's seeking to address the crisis in masculinity. And we strive to build up all the men that we work with as leaders, protectors, and providers. And this program, which was launched right when we launched the apostolate, in fact, a couple months before we went full-time, is all about talking about authentic masculinity. And what does that look like? How do we best live it? And this day on this to this for this day on this program, we're going to be talking about a very timely topic that really yesterday reared its head in my own family, in my own domestic church, and I had to confront an issue that I think many today deal with, but that many don't confront or address. I want to talk about sports and the great gift that they are, and how our faith sometimes supports the sports regimen that we have for our family, but how sometimes our faith and the duties that we have and we're obligated to do are in conflict with sports. That's right. So yesterday was the Feast of the Ascension on the sixth week of Easter here. We have the Feast of the Ascension, a holy day of obligation, which, as my brother Chaz DeFeo, who was on the program here, told me this morning as we were talking on the phone, that there are only six dioceses that honor this feast as a holy day of obligation. Most dioceses today transfer it to Sunday. And you have to ask yourself, why are these dioceses doing this? And why are some, like Philadelphia, Boston, New York, why are they still holding to the obligation? So again, if you missed your holy day of obligation yesterday here in this Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and you didn't willfully, intentionally, you didn't want to go because you had other things to do that you could have, given up or offered up or missed, it's a sin, right? And I was really struck by the Catholics that I encountered yesterday who had forgotten about the feast, that hadn't even thought about it, that were not going. I was really struck by the low turnout at Mass last night at 7 p.m. in St. Philip Neri in Pennsburg, Father Ron Case up there. I was really surprised at how many pews were empty. Now, granted, there are other Masses during the day. I think there was one other Mass during the day in the morning. But nonetheless, you would think that there would be a little bit more people. My son had a baseball game, and my daughters had a softball game. And that we were at 6 o'clock. The Mass was at 7, and we could not go to a morning Mass. We had other obligations. that we had to do. But anyhow, we were planning on going to the 7 p.m. at St. Philip's. And obviously, that's right in the heart of the game and for both my children. And my daughter, who's 6 years old, 7 years old, she was able to get most of her game in. And my son was in the middle of the third inning, and they play a six-inning game. So I said to my son, we're going to leave the game early, and we're going to go to Mass. And I'll communicate that to your coaches and whatnot. He was very disappointed. He was sad. I could tell he was upset about it. I said, let me ask you a question. His name's Mark Jr. I said, Mark, what's more important, your commitment to God, commitment to Jesus? I think I just said, what's more important, Jesus or baseball? That's what I said to him. And to his credit, he answered, Jesus. I said, you're right, Mark. Go get yourself a treat. I wanted to reward him for that response because I think a lot of kids his age, he's 9, may not see that value. And I said, Mark, I'm really proud of you. I said, your commitment to your team and your teammates is very important, extremely important. However, your commitment to Jesus, your commitment as a Catholic, is the most important thing in your life. And I honor you, son, and I'm proud of you, and I thank you. That could have gone another way. He could have got obstinate. He could have got defiant. He could have yelled at me. He could have said baseball's more important. He could have said a lot of things there. But his formation as a young man, praise God, is going well, and he sees great value in his faith, and he understands that Jesus is the most important thing in his life. Or at least, if he doesn't get that emotionally, he gets it intellectually. And anyhow, his answer was correct. I want to talk today about this conflict that parents deal with their children, especially as they get them engaged in sports at a very young age. I think this is an issue that's not going away, that is only going to get worse. And I see, township games are planned on Sunday, oftentimes all throughout the day. Hopefully you can make an accommodation there and go to a vigil if you have a game. And you should be able to make that accommodation. So, with Sundays, if there is a conflict, hopefully you make the right choice there. I'm not here to tell you today what to do. I'm here to just outline the dilemma, the conflict, and what I propose parents and those that are in charge of children, they're in their care and custody, many children, what they should ponder in this regard. Because I think it's a question that you really have to ask yourself, and we really have to say, where are our priorities? So on this program today at Holy Spirit Radio, this sixth Friday of Easter time, we're going to talk about our priorities when it comes to sports and faith. Whether it's fantasy football, whether it's fantasy baseball, whether it's college basketball, whether it's youth baseball, youth sports, youth programs, AAU, whatever you find yourself committed to, we want to talk about how we balance those priorities. I'm going to be coming from the perspective today that God and Jesus Christ and Father, Son, Holy Spirit are the most important things in our life, all right? That is the number one priority. If we disagree on that, then of course our conversation is going to be one-sided or it's going to be in conflict. However, I have to submit in this presentation today on this Holy Spirit Radio that we all agree that Jesus Christ is the most important thing in our lives. Amen? I'm just going to have to begin with that because that's where I am coming from. Now, how do we juggle that? How do we balance that? How do we honor the gifts that God gave us? Because let's be honest, athletic ability and talent is a God-given gift to be used and to be exercised, not in the sense of physical exercise, but to be used, that God wants us to use it. And so there's this degree of honor there that's very important. However, we have to ask ourselves as parents, where are our priorities when it comes to our children's formation in the faith and formation as an athlete? Some parents have their kids involved in, they're never not involved. Let's put it that way. They're in travel baseball if they're not doing, this in-season baseball, or it's off-season you know, soccer, you know, and they're playing soccer all year, or football all year in the sense of, you know, fall football, you know, strength training in the off season, camps, flag football, and they're constantly playing this sport, and they're specializing in these sports, which is a topic for another day. Basketball, AAU, travel team, CYO, school team, township, whatever's offered, your kids are plugging into camps. Camps to make your kids better athletes. All good things, not bad things. How does the faith come into those things? Should the faith come into those things? Should our faith, question today, number one, should our faith be directing our choices in this regard? Should our faith be woven into these things? Is it bleeding into these things? Is our faith pouring out as we participate as fathers, as coaches, as team parents, team moms? You know, is our faith part of that? That's a question number one today we have to ask ourselves. And we're going to go to our first break here. It's a hard break in 3 minutes. But we're going to talk about this and the challenges with it, good and bad, positive and negative. How are you navigating this as father, as husband, as mom, as mother, as grandfather, as uncle, as godparent, overseeing? Maybe you're a guardian. You want your kids to be involved, no question. We want our kids to be engaged. We want our kids to be good, have good health. And playing sports keeps them in good shape, keeps them in a healthy position, disposition for their life, right? They're going to be healthier for it. Is their spiritual life suffering? Is your spiritual life suffering as a result of it? That's where we have to draw the line. If spiritual health is suffering or neglected or even abandoned because of sports, then that's where the rubber hits the road, right? That's where we have to really say, where are my priorities? Now, in the city of Philadelphia, we've had a wonderful run of sports this year, haven't we? Of course, we have our beloved Eagles, won the Super Bowl, world champs. We have our Phillies off to a pretty decent start. We have a good run by the Sixers. It ended, you know, but a good run nonetheless. We have some faithful guys on the Eagles. We have some faithful guys on the Sixers. We had the Flyers making the playoffs. We had our Villanova Wildcats win another national championship. Praise God. These are wonderful things, and it's great to celebrate, and we should celebrate it. It's important. These are good and healthy things. Can they become unhealthy? Of course. It's how we approach them. It's how we treat them. Is it superior? So as we had this day of obligation yesterday, this holy day of obligation yesterday, did your activity in the afternoon, evening, and sports, did that cause a conflict for you? I know for many Catholics in my periphery, in my area, in the Upper Perkiomen area, it did. And when I asked them, I said, are you going to Mass? Did you go to Mass today? They said, oh, no, I totally forgot about it. Oh, gosh. Well, I guess they can't really be completely culpable if they forgot about it. But frankly, you know, how much can we brush this off to ignorance? And how much is just a lack of intention on our part or awareness on our part that should be there? I don't know. I can't answer that for those souls. But I can say that, you know, once you find out, once you know, and sometimes we forget, whether it's Lent or something that you have a certain obligation, you know, once you're drawn to attention and awareness, then of course you're obligated at that point. You have some sort of culpability. When we come back in about 15 seconds, we're going to get into this more deeply. I'm going to talk about fantasy football. I'm going to talk about fantasy baseball and just the challenges with all that, especially as a man leading your family's husband, father, bishop of the domestic church. Right back.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Summers and Zims. Summers and Zims provides quality service in plumbing, heating, and air conditioning and refrigeration. They are proud to serve Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. They also serve southern and eastern Lancaster County. Summers and Zims' telephone number is 610-593-5129, and their website is sumzim.com.
Are you ready, gentlemen?
Yes.
I don't think so. Okay, let's start. Let me see your Bibles. Don't you hold out those phones, you little thing. Don't you dare.
You've heard him right here on Holy Spirit Radio. Father Larry Richards is coming to the Malvern Retreat House on Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th for the Be a Man, a 24-hour men's retreat. Cost is $160 per person. Register today by calling 610-644-0400 or visit malvernretreat.com.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, that reminds me, Father Larry Richards, great guy, great priest. Met him many times via Man Conference. Cool. Check that out, Malvern Retreat House. Also, we have our Into the Wild retreat programs. You can visit intothewildweekend.com. We got Sholo, Arizona, May 31st to June 3rd. If you want to check that out, any men listening, fly out to Phoenix. It's a great time. We also have Mount Rushmore this year, the Black Hills, the Diocese of Rapid City, Archbishop Chaput's former diocese. We'll be doing another retreat there September 13th to the 16th. So check that out. All information at intothewildweekend.com. Also, our Samson retreat, our second one of the year, will be November 8th through the 11th. Visit samsonretreat.com. And, of course, always visit thekingsmen.org if you want to learn more about our apostolate and what we're doing. All right, back to the theme today, prioritizing sports with faith. Not an easy thing to navigate today, especially when our society and our culture is crazed with sports, that people are making millions of dollars from sports. Our kids are enthusiastic about it. They're thriving in their athletic abilities, and we want them to do well. We desire for them to do well. Maybe there's a scholarship looming for them if they do well. You know, that's all part of these things. What are your goals for your child? Let's start there. What are your goals for? Is your child's goal, your child's goal to get to heaven? If that's your goal, that's going to set things right. If your goal is to get them to heaven, then of course, as you approach sports, you're going to have probably a healthy perspective on it. If heaven isn't your number one goal for your child, and maybe it isn't, maybe you just haven't even thought about it. Maybe it's to go to college. Maybe it's to get a good job. Maybe it's to have a healthy, happy, holy family. And you just think of it in those terms, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that that's a poor perspective. However, it's a little bit inferior to the ultimate goal, which is to become a saint, right? When any saint, anybody that's in heaven is a saint. So let's talk about the fantasy football. Let's talk about the priorities for us as men, all right? Now, I'm sure there are women involved in these things. Let's talk about the priorities for us as men and our goals as a man, to lead our family, to be a leader, protector, provider. As St. Augustine said, you are bishop of your family, bishop of your domestic church. So you are in charge. You set the tone. If sports is a priority to you, guess what? It's probably going to be a priority to your kids. It may not be a priority to your wife because she's already made her choices. But when the kids come of age, they see what dad's doing. They want to do what dad's doing. Why? Because they love dad. And they want to make dad happy. If dad's super into sports, guess what? The kids are probably going to be super into sports. It's pretty normal. Now, maybe your kid doesn't like sports. Well, you know, dad, you're going to have a challenge there if you want him to be involved in sports, but he just doesn't want to do it. Or I always say, I'm going to encourage my kids to get involved. I'm going to encourage them to play, but I'm not going to force them to play. My kid doesn't want to play a sport. I'm not going to make them do it. I'm going to encourage them to do something, and I'm going to keep them active, whether it's chopping wood or, you know, horse riding or whatever. They're going to stay active, but I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to say, this is going to be good for you. This will be healthy for you. But I'm going to set the tone by my actions. Now, we don't have a TV in my house, so watching sports is not something that is part of my day-to-day or daily or weekly life. But for many men today, I would say it is. On the weekend, growing up, I would watch a full Eagles game. The only Eagles game, I don't know if I'm proud to say this or not proud to say this, the only Eagles game I watched this year was the Super Bowl. And what a great game that was. And I watched it as a family, our kids. My son loved it. It was his first full Eagles game. It was the Super Bowl. And it's just a product of not having TV. We just don't have it. So you can see where, you know, things are drawn in my house. And I'm not here to tell you to do what I do. I'm just telling you that where's the perspective? What are your goals? If your goal is to get your kid into college and you're going to get a full scholarship athletically because you can't afford college, okay, all right, I get it. You're going to help him succeed. You're going to set him up for success. What is the cost? You got to count the cost. if we're looking at situations like yesterday where we have a holy day of obligation, what is the message we're sending to our son if we say, no, we're not going to Mass? Again, we're obligated as Catholic Christians in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia to have gone to Mass yesterday. If you're living in Kansas City or you're living in Nashville or Savannah, you're off the hook, okay? But in Philadelphia, you're not off the hook, because Jesus said to his apostles, and the bishops are in line with the apostles, what you hold bound on earth will be held bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so in our archdiocese, where Archbishop Chaput is in line with those apostles, he's like St. Peter, he's a bishop. He says this is binding. This is binding in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. If you don't go to Mass, you are committing a sin. That's essentially what happened yesterday in our archdiocese. So go to confession if you missed. And have a sincere purpose to not do that again. I mean, that's kind of important, right? So there's a dilemma there. How many are listening to me today have children that didn't go to Mass yesterday? Or maybe you're listening and you didn't take your kids to Mass, or you didn't even get yourself to Mass for whatever reason. Now, sickness and all those things that, you know, would dispense you, all those things I'm not talking about. But let's say you're a father like me with young children. You had a game, and games are planned during the weekdays, and you said, no, we're going to go. We're going to go. Maybe you're a coach. Maybe you made that commitment, and you're the head coach. And you have assistants for a reason, right? You have assistants there to help you, to support you when you can't be there and all that stuff. Nonetheless, you can work all that out. I think we have to ask ourselves, what is the message I'm sending to my children? As bishop of the home, what's my priority? I'm going to challenge the men here to really think about this when it comes to things like fantasy football. I'm not saying that it's intrinsically evil. It's not. That stuff isn't, sports is not evil. When it becomes idolatry, then it becomes an evil thing. When it's sports above all things, when it's sports before God, when it's sports before Mass, when it's in the sense of I go to my game and I won't go to Mass, that's when we're bordering on idolatry, especially as we're talking about us as adults. Kids are not guilty of that. They don't know what that is. They just do what they're told. They may be upset. They do what they're told. And so we're on the hook. We're on the hook as parents. And fathers, you're extremely on the hook, because God set you up as head of that household. So you will make those decisions. Your wife might disagree with you, but ultimately it's going to go from your voice to the family. So what is your priority? So let's say you're into fantasy football. Is there anything wrong with fantasy football? No, nothing wrong with fantasy football. Now, I have a problem with fantasy football when it takes and detracts from the family time. This is where I'm going to challenge men today. Okay, maybe you get together for your draft night or whatever, and you set that up. You say, hey, honey, and whatever, I'd like to do this. Is there going to be a problem? And obviously, you want to pick a day and do it when it's not going to be a problem. So assuming all those things are taken care of, fine. Let's just say all things go off without a hitch. You establish the time away, and your wife's comfortable with that. She doesn't feel oppressed by that. She's not burdened by that. Again, if your wife's burdened by 4 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours away, whatever how long it's going to be for your draft, then you got to really pray about that. See, I can't do that to my wife. Or if you just say, you know what, this is my time, it's my guy time, and deal with it, wife. That would be very unloving, of course, attitude. But that would be something, obviously, that could be, you know, where you're really in a danger zone. You don't want to oppress your wife. You don't want to make your wife feel like you're just a monger and you're just going to do whatever you want, and she's got to compliment that as best she can. No, that's too much, right? That's too much of a cost. However, let's just say all things go off well and you got the free time to go do it and you work it all out and all things fine. Now, your fantasy's beginning and your season's going on, and Sunday, of course, the big day with football, you're checking things. Okay, are you on your phone all day checking your phone to the point where you're distracted, to the point where you're not even being present to your children? Your children want to be with you. And if you're working all week and you're gone before they wake up in the morning and you pretty much come home when they go to bed, your kids want to spend time with you. They want to be in your company. They want to be around dad. If you can't be present to your children on the weekend because you're on your phone checking the fantasy, I would say it's too much of a cost. I would say you really got to get rid of that, brother. You really got to like own up and man up and say, I can't do this. This is formative time for my children. This is special time, me being with them on the weekends. Now, if you can break away, and maybe when you go to the bathroom or something, check it, fine. But when you're with your family, you're with your family. You're present to them. You're honoring them. You're present to your wife. Think about how much fantasy football might take away from your relationship with your wife. Remember, this is a sacrament, and your marriage is a sacrament, and it's holy. And you have to be attentive and intentional when it comes to blessing your marriage and honoring your marriage vows and making sure you have a healthy marriage. You know, just because we made a vow to her on our wedding night doesn't mean we can dishonor her, you know, because of our choices, our hobbies and so forth, you know, through our daily lives, right? We must continue to honor our spouse, and we must take into consideration she has needs too, personal needs, interpersonal needs. She needs to be filled up. She needs to be fortified. She needs to be strengthened. She needs your love and care and attention. So if you're like checked out on the weekends because of fantasy football, and that's, oh, well, my wife's okay with it. It's half the year. She allows me to do that. Okay. I think your marriage is going to suffer in the long run, though. I think your children are going to suffer in the long run, though, because you're checking out from their life. Oh, well, I'm including them. I'm bringing them into it. Okay. I don't know how you can incorporate that with young minds and into all that stuff, but maybe you can. I don't know how you can incorporate your wife. So the justifications are, you really just got to see them for what they are. You're trying to justify. You have to say, oh, is my family thriving under my leadership? And thriving, I mean, are they becoming holier people? Are they becoming better people? Well, they're becoming better athletes. Okay, not a bad thing, but at what cost? At their faith, losing their faith? We really have to pray about this and think about this. Where are our priorities? Where are your priorities? Fantasy baseball, same thing. College basketball, I find myself, my sister went to Syracuse, and I don't follow anything, really. I don't even follow the local sports scene, although I kind of try to keep an awareness of things, so I'm in touch. But I love Syracuse basketball. I don't have a TV. I don't watch Syracuse basketball. But I will check my phone to see how they're doing. And at night, it does kind of, it's something I'll do when I find myself a little downtime. My wife will say, can you please get off the phone? Can you stop doing what you're doing? You need to listen to that when your wife says that. And get off the phone. When you go into a restaurant, don't take your phone in with you. Leave your phone in the car. Be present to your children. If you're doing it, guess what? Your kids are going to do it. And they're going to see that this is normal behavior. It is abnormal behavior. You know why it's abnormal? Because for 2,000 years, there never was this distraction from family time. In the last 15, 20 years, we've become extremely distracted. And we're not even present to the people we love and care about. And then when it comes to sports and our how we incorporate that into our families, you father, you brother, you man in the home, really set the tone. I don't think the woman is driving that. I think she's going to defer to you. Maybe she's a really athletic woman. Okay, great. Maybe she was a great athlete in college. Great. She knows what's required there. But a woman's heart knows that emotionally the kids need to be provided for. Brother, it's not enough just to financially provide for your family than just check out from them on the weekend. It's not enough to do that. It's wrong to do that. And dare I say, it's borderline sinful to do it. So we really need to ask ourselves, am I leading my family well? When it comes to this issue of sports and faith, they can go together. Faith and reason, as John Paul II, St. John Paul II said, they go hand in hand. So use good judgment. Use your reason. Use and make good decisions. And incorporate sports into your life when it helps and blesses your family and children. And when there's a divider, and sometimes there will be a crossroads there, do you choose Jesus or you choose the competition over Jesus? Those are tough decisions. Maybe your kid misses a championship game. I go back to Eric Little. Eric Little in Chariots of Fire. True story. And when you watch the movie, there's a little bit of, you know, Hollywood license there. But for the most part, it kind of went down the way it went down. But there is some Hollywood liberties that were taken there. Eric Little was a really devout Christian man. And he was a superior world-class sprinter, track athlete. And he competed for the United Kingdom and British, in Great Britain. And they were competing for, I think it was the 1930 or 24 Olympics or something like that. Maybe it was 1920 Olympics. I'm not sure. It was around that time. And Eric Liddell was a world-class sprinter. And there was other athletes that were followed in the movie. But nonetheless, Eric Liddell was a devout Christian man. Not a Catholic, but a devout Christian man. And he was running for Great Britain and winning competitions professionally, or as an amateur, rather. And he got acknowledged as probably the world's fastest man at this point, leading into this Olympics. Well, he was supposed to run in the 100-meter dash. And there was a conflict there because it was the Lord's Day when the first heat or second heat, or there was conflict there. And Eric Liddell, true story, said he could not honor his Lord on that day by competing. He did not want to run on the Lord's Day. He wanted to rest. Now, today we can look at that and say, okay, maybe that was an extreme or something like that. And I don't know. I can't say that it was an extreme, but I know for the man it was principle. And he said, I cannot, it's the Lord's Day, and I cannot run. Despite his countrymen and the queen and the prince and all of them encouraging him to run, to honor his country over God, he would not bow to that. And you watch the movie, you can see this all happen. And he was a man of conviction. And he understood that when he runs, that he gave glory to God. In fact, when his sister Jenny approaches him to go and be a missionary in China, he says, why won't you come? She says, why won't you come to China? Why are you pursuing this dream, this Olympics? Why are you doing this? And he says, Jenny, I know God made me for China. I know God did. And I will go there. I will do that. But God also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. And so he understood that giving glory to God also meant fulfilling the gifts that you've been given and using them. And so he's not a guy that would say that it's wrong to be involved in sports. He's certainly not. But he was a guy that understood that the Lord's Day is the Lord's Day, and should be a day of rest. Now, I think today if we incorporate family and we can incorporate, you know, our journey as men with our family, as husbands and fathers, that you can, maybe in good conscience, you can say we can partake in sports, whether it's we're watching them, or whether our children are participating. I think we can do that in good conscience. However, at the point of missing Mass, you cannot. You must take the Eric Liddell stance. You must say, no, I must honor the Lord. At the point of missing Mass and all your duties, and certainly the church gives us plenty of opportunities to maybe go to a vigil, thanks be to God, right? We can do that. If you've neglected that ability to do that, then you're culpable. You're accountable. But Eric Liddell could not run that day. And he honored his God, and he was given another race to run in. And of course, in the movie, you see him win the 400-meter dash sprint and take the gold and honor his Lord and honor his country. And it was glorious. So there's a modern-day example, contemporary example, of a man who understood the balance there. Now, I think later on in life, if you read the story of Eric Liddell, he did end up competing and doing some things on Sunday. So maybe he had a little bit of a shift in his thought on it. Nonetheless, at that time of his life, that was what he did. And so as we're talking about perspective on sports and faith and fantasy football and fantasy baseball and college basketball and all these things, they're all good things. Your will perceives them as good, and our will can only perceive that which is good. However, if it's idolatry, if it's at the point of neglecting our family and our wives and our children, now we have crossed the line. We come back after this second hard break. We're going to get into how do we recover from that? How do you, let's say maybe you've gone down this path and you got to recover. We'll be right back.
If St. Benedict ordered your day, he would give you balance.
1 Minute Monk. Abbot Placid Solari of Belmont Abbey.
In his Rule of St. Benedict, he taught that to achieve that balance, we should divide the day between work, prayer, reading, and rest. The parts can expand and contract as needs and seasons demand, yet they always stay balanced. Most of us do not have St. Benedict scheduling our days, but we can learn from him. We may sometimes feel that we live to work, that something is missing, and that often our schedule is not entirely in our control. St. Benedict encourages us to plan for balance and bring our life into peaceful order.
For your free copy of The Rule of St. Benedict, visit oneminutemonk.com. oneminutemonk.com.
We have to choose to include prayer, reading, and rest to balance our day and be flexible about them. Without them, though, we just, well, live to work.
A longtime supporter of Holy Spirit Radio is Holly Hill Health Foods, a locally owned, family-run business for over 26 years. They offer a wide selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, and formulas. They also have nutritionists to serve your needs. Visit Holly Hill Health Foods at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, Pennsylvania, or call them at 215-361-7770. You can also shop online at hollyhillvitamins.com.
Okay, welcome back. How about that 1 minute monk, huh? That was not planned. I didn't know that was going to be in the queue, but Frank put it in there. And isn't that perfect? Isn't that perfect? Talking about, you know, striking that balance. Very important. I'm Mark Houck, your host today, and we're talking about sports and faith and how we balance those two and where it becomes problematic and where sports trumps faith or faith trumps sports is a discernment process that I think many men are failing at today. And I'm talking to you men because you are bishop of the home, you're head of the household, and you set that standard. I often say in my talks to men that, gosh, I find it really hard. I kind of had to give up golf because golf was, as a married man, as a father, I still play once or twice a year, but it's a long day away from the family when you're on the golf course, at least maybe a 6 hours away, I'd say. And with young children, I found that really hard to justify. And likewise, if we're watching a sporting event, and let's say our family's not incorporated in that, and I would say balance within the family is when the family's incorporated into the sport watching, and it's enjoyable for all, and we can bond together as a family, that's a good thing. But when dad's just checked out and he's on his own private TV, or he's watching and no one else really wants to do anything with the sports, and they want to be outside and play and all those things, but dad's going to watch the game, I don't know. When you have a young family, I got to say that's a bit of a danger area. But I want to talk right now, last part of the program, about recovering from maybe this attitude. See, there's a lot of reverts in the Catholic Church. What's a revert? That's someone who has reclaimed the great jewel of their Catholicity later in life. In fact, maybe they were raised in the faith, they were formed in it, they grew up, they received all their sacraments, but when they came of age and they got to college and they had a chance to make decisions for themselves, they never claimed the faith for themselves, and maybe they walked away and they stopped going to Mass. But as they came of to be a fully grown man, and they maybe a husband or father, a newly married man, they started to see that maybe there was greater value there than they once realized. And there's this reversion. There's this epiphany moment whereby a man or a woman comes back to the gifts that they've been given, and they start cherishing it once again and start learning again about the faith and what they really didn't understand, what they walked away from with really quite a bit of ignorance in their heart. And they're learning again, and sometimes in their mid-20s and early 30s for the first time. And it's very revelatory for them and life-changing. And they really become devout Catholics once again. So let's talk about in that context, that maybe you're thinking about this and you're saying, geez, I've really gone down this path of sports first, faith second, and I want to revert. I want to revert to order and balance and harmony, as St. Benedict was talking there in that 1 minute monk segment. I want to have harmony again with sports and faith. I want faith to be leading and directing my decisions. I think you can have both. I think you can have both. And I think you can set the tone and establish that. I was sharing a story earlier about my son yesterday, how they had to leave their games early because we had to get to Mass. It was not a question of if we would go to Mass or should we go to Mass. It was, we have to get to Mass. We will go to Mass. And there's no questions. And as father of six children, a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 6-7-month-old, I'm accountable. I'm accountable for those decisions. I'm head of the household, and I would be accountable, and God would hold me accountable for not bringing them, especially my 9-year-old, who is under obligation to receive communion and go to Mass. With the younger ones, they're not under obligation. They're not at the age of reason, although my 7-year-old is coming of that age. However, we went to Mass. How do you start again? How do you start over again? How do you start reclaiming? Well, I think you have to just begin. I think you just have to say, okay, you know what? This was wrong, and Daddy was wrong, and you apologize, or you say, you know, wife, whatever her name is, I want to do this differently. And maybe when you start the next season and the next, you know, activity you're going to put your kids in, and you're going to make a decision as to whether you coach or not. I can't become a head coach of all my kids' sports because I know it requires a great degree of a commitment. So I've made a decision that I will coach, but I'll always be an assistant because I don't know if I can always be there. And frankly, I don't know if I can lead the children in every game because of those conflicts with my faith and also the work that I do ministerially. So I had to make a decision that that's just more commitment or priority than I can give. And I've always let it known to my children that Sundays are going to be a challenge for us and that God will always come first. And if we can make Sunday Mass work, we will. And if we can accommodate and make an adjustment with a vigil, then that's open to us. But however, Sunday is a day of rest and we will honor the Lord and we will do it as a family. And where it becomes a conflict and too much work, too much activity, too much distraction, then Dad needs to step in. And you just start doing it, and you start leading by example, and you start showing them that God is most important in your life. So if you had this reversion or you're thinking about it today for the first time, ask yourself, are my children thriving? Is my wife thriving as a woman of God, as a sister in Christ? Are my children thriving? Are they doing well? Do they know who Jesus is? Can they tell me about the faith? Have I instructed them in those ways? Because you are the primary educators. You don't send your kids to Catholic school to form your kids in Catholic identity, in Catholic things, Catholic values. No, that's a supplement. Catholic school is a supplement to your instruction. You are the primary educators of your children, parents. Father, you are the head of your household. You are the bishop of your church. You handle the instruction primarily. The teachers at the school, they're supporting you. They're supplementing. They're providing some deeper content, potentially, but you are the primary educators. And when it comes to the formation of your children's Catholic identity, that is not the responsibility of your local parish school or the diocesan high school that you're sending your kids or the classical curriculum program that you're sending your kids, although they're going to get great formation there too. They're not the primary educators. You are in charge. And if you're not comfortable with how your school is teaching your children the Catholic faith, then make your voice and your thoughts be heard and communicate that because you are the primary educators when it comes to passing on the faith. And so if you're having this reversion with sports and spirituality, and you're saying, geez, Dad has really been skewed here in his thoughts, and he's really gone off the rails here, and sports has become idolatry. Well, you apologize. You go to confession. You make a good confession. You tell the Lord in your heart that you're not going to do this anymore, and you're going to strive. Maybe you're a season ticket holder. Oh, boy. And you've been one for 25 years, and you always go to the game early, and you tailgate, and you miss Mass on Sunday. Typically, right? You wouldn't go to Mass. Maybe you got there on the vigil, or maybe you just didn't. Maybe you start going to an early Mass, a 6 a.m. Mass, and then you're heading to your tailgate. You're just making that accommodation, that adjustment. I remember one time I was working at a 24-hour facility, kind of like a hospital, but it was a maximum security juvenile detention facility. And we worked those days, you're working around the clock sometimes, and sometimes you have no choice in it. But I remember I was deliberately taking double shifts on Saturday and Sunday because you got paid more on the weekend and it was overtime. And I was taking double shifts and I was finding myself in conflict with attending Mass. And I had to make a commitment. I had to make a decision. Who am I going to honor here? Am I going to honor the almighty dollar and lining my pockets and the things I want to do? Or I'm going to at least make an accommodation where I'll take one double shift and free myself up for a Saturday vigil or a Sunday morning Mass. Sometimes you had no choice in the matter, and you just got stuck on a holiday and stuff like that. And you know, those things are out of your control. But where you can control your schedule, and you have the ability to control your schedule, and you deliberately choose to schedule yourself out of the opportunity to go to Mass, you have committed a mortal sin. You have made a decision, in, you know, full knowledge, full consent of your will, and it's grave matter, that you're going to not honor the Lord's Day. That is a serious issue, and one that could put your soul in jeopardy. And if you continue down that destructive path, you may find yourself not in the company of the saints, not in the company of the Lord. That's the reality of it. That is our faith. And God tells us, I've given you 7 days. You honor me 1 day a week. That's all I ask. 1 day a week, you set aside for me. That's the least we can do. And I tell that to my children. Sometimes they say, I don't want to go to Mass today, Daddy. I said, you know what? Sometimes Daddy doesn't feel like going to Mass today. And it's more of a sacrifice on those days. But remember Jesus hanging on the cross and all that he suffered for you and how much he showed you that he loved you? Do you think we could offer that hour of our time just to give back and say thank you, to sacrifice, even especially on the days we don't want to go? It's even more of a sacrifice. It's even more honor we're giving the Lord because we really don't want to be there. Sometimes Daddy doesn't want to go. I get it. Sometimes it's inconvenient. Sometimes it's very disruptive in our day. We've got a lot going on. We have busy lives. But you know what? God is above all that. God controls everything. God can make time for things that we need to make time. If we honor him, if we put him first, he will help us do all the things we're asked to do. And he will help our lives not always go perfectly, but we will be in conformity with his will. And that'll give us great peace. And God will give us great blessings as a result of that. Again, we don't go to Mass so that that God's good to us. God is always good to us, even when we're in sin. However, we go to Mass because we want to give back. We want to give back to our Lord and Creator who thinks of us every second of the day. And if he stopped thinking of us, we would cease to exist. We want to tell him thank you and that we love him and that he's important to us and that when it comes to our life, that he's the most important thing to us. And this is something you have to really impress upon your children at a very young age. And I think sports can sometimes cause some conflict here. And I don't know how many people didn't go to Mass last night because there was a game on or something. But if that was you, dear brother, in this audience today and you're hearing me, I ask you to really think about that and count those costs. What am I risking? Am I risking a relationship with Jesus? Maybe. Am I really risking my children losing their faith and relationship with Jesus? Maybe. You have to ask yourself, and you will be responsible, and you will be accountable for the children that are lost on your watch. If your children lose their faith under your watch because you didn't instruct them, because you didn't tell them, you will be held accountable. And that is important to know. And as men, as leaders, protectors, and providers, it is our responsibility as men to fulfill that minimal requirement. I gave you these children. I blessed your life with children. I put them in your care and custody. They're my kids, but I gave them to you to care for them, to take care of them, to teach them about me. Did you do it? I blessed you with them. I blessed you with provision for them. I blessed you with a nice home. I blessed you with a nice life so that you could care for your children. Did you tell them about me? Did you teach them about what I did for them, why I did it for them? And if you can honestly say to the Lord, yes, you did, that you taught them to the best of your ability, that you cared for them, that you loved them, and you protected them, and you prepared them for their journey of faith, their journey to heaven, then the Lord would be pleased with you, and he would tell you that you did well, and that heaven is your reward. Because ultimately, as married men, that is our vocation. That is our path to holiness. It's not how many times we got to Mass during a given week. It's how well did you honor your wife and the children that came as a result, the fruit of your marriage. That is your path to holiness, dear fathers. Dear brothers in Christ listening to me now. If your wife is becoming holier, if your children are becoming holier people, you are doing a good job, and I confirm you, dear brother, and I say keep going on that path. Keep journeying. Keep doing what you're doing. And if you find yourself where sports has gotten in the way, where AAU, travel teams, and all those things are becoming more of a priority, stop it. Maybe once, maybe less travel teams. Maybe I see fathers with kids in the sport for the township and the kids on another team. Boy, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. If you can do it, Great. More power to you. But at what expense? The expense of their school and their fatigue level, their ability to do their academics, the ability to honor God. That's a huge sacrifice. In fact, I would say it would be an eternal risk that you're taking with all that. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I putting my kids in a position whereby their souls are in jeopardy and my soul's in jeopardy? Too much of a cost, brothers. I hope that you've enjoyed this program. I hope that you've gotten something out of it. And I hope with yesterday's feast that you got to Mass. And if you didn't get to Mass, you go to confession. Because in this diocese, we are bound. We were bound by that obligation. And pray that more dioceses will honor these 7 days. I think it's seven. Is it six or seven? I forget. But these 6 days of holy days of obligation. Not just Christmas and Easter, but all of them. They're so important. It's so good for our faith. Look forward to talking to you next time. And when we come back, God will have another offering for you, dear men, because we're talking about authentic masculinity. I am Mark Houck. God bless you.